doing the Top 40 was, for me, a remarkable exercise. This is a very personal thing. I started life in Top 40 radio in the United States of America. That's where I trained. Everything was only 10 seconds. You had 10 seconds to make your point. Bang, you were into a record. You could never speak for more than 10 seconds. Doing the Top 40, that's pretty much the principle. You have no time whatsoever. You can say, this is, that was, this is, it was. But that's boring if you say that. What I tried to do was, in that 10-second break, impart some sort of information. I would spend 8 hours on the phone to all the record companies, researching every single record in the Top 40. Find out where the artist came from, find out anything I could about the songwriters, particularly the producers, maybe the type of instrumentation that was used on the record, and really research what that record was all about, and then translate that knowledge that I'd accrued into something I could say in 10 seconds. I really enjoyed doing it because it was a challenge. See, I love music so much. I'm a music freak. I turn all the speakers up, I turn my headphones up, and when the music's playing, I'm in Valhalla. I just love this stuff. I mean, it's better than anything I've ever had in my life as a stimulant. Music is the best buzz in the world for me. But unfortunately, when you turn all the speakers up, what happens is that sound waves radiate all over the studio, and things actually move within that studio. And I'll never forget, because it was like a suicidal number. I was watching a jingle cartridge, right, in resonance to the music that was playing at such a hell of a volume in the studio. I just watched it move right across a set of shelves and then delicately fall right onto the turntable and smash the record that I was playing on the air. I knew what was happening. I could see it happening, but I was so enraptured by the music that I just didn't want it to stop, you know? It was ridiculous. And I watched it delicately arc through the air as if it was in slow motion and fall bang right on the record that was on the air. Being such a rabid music lover, I get very angry sometimes because a great piece of music is not being played on the radio for whatever reason. And there was an incident when I was doing the Top 40 when there was a record out by Men at Work. And that record was a hit all over the world. That band had toured and toured and toured and made it a hit all over the place, except in the United Kingdom, which is one of the major record markets in the world. And in my estimation, and obviously the estimation of countless millions of others around this globe, it was a great record. So what I did was, I took all the instrumental bits of the record and I created an instrumental version of the record. It was called Down Under. Then I used that piece of music for, I think it was 6 weeks. In every Top 40 that you do, there are rundowns, right? There are rundowns where you do 10 to 20, 20 to 30 songs. And I used that piece of music incessantly for 6 weeks as an instrumental, hoping against hope that somewhere down the line, the producer would hear it and go, hey, that's quite an interesting little sound. I like it, in other words, so therefore I'll program it. Ultimately, it was programmed, and ultimately, it was a massive hit. And I've still got the gold record, which in actual fact isn't a gold record at all. It's a blue record in plastic in the shape of Australia from Men at Work. What does it say? This is for Tommy Vance for bringing the Men Down Under to the top of the world. You can use radio sometimes in a very subtle fashion.